Welcome to Success Is Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Portman, serial entrepreneur, author, and podcast host. Whether success for you is more money, time with your family, a healthy, well-balanced life, or freedom, I'm interviewing guests and getting you the advice to make it happen. So join me as we uncomplicate the complicated, help you define success, and give you the strategies to make it happen. Welcome back to another episode of Success Is. I'm your host, Phil Portman. Joining us today, we have Natasha Hemingway. Natasha is a sales coach, speaker, and the founder of Heart Not Hustle, a company that's all about helping entrepreneurs sell authentically and effectively without feeling pushy or losing sight of their purpose. With a successful corporate sales background and a heart-centered approach, Natasha's been transforming how business owners think about and execute sales. Welcome to the show, Natasha.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here, Phil.
So let's kick it off. What does success mean to you?
So success. Okay. I have my own definition, which is meaningful success. And meaningful success, the definition for it is creating and cultivating what matters to you most and brings you purpose and joy. So that's my definition for success. It's really just meaningful success to me, because I think we get caught up in the rat race of what we think success means, more money, more this, bigger business, blah, blah, blah. And it really isn't. I think when you've been a business owner for a while, you've gone through some hard things, you grow up, you mature, you really understand what you do want and what you don't want. And what's most important is what is the thing that brings you purpose and joy? Because joy is sustaining, even through hard times. Where happiness is one of those things where it's based off of the happenings, right? The things that are happening to you. Oh, I got a new job. I made this sale, or I did this, or I got married. It's those things are fleeting. So they come and go, but joy is like that thing that's sustaining.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can have those fleeting moments of happiness. You can still have struggling and still have joy in your life.
Right? Yes, absolutely.
Has your definition of success changed over the years?
Oh, 1000% from coming from absolutely like coming from corporate sales, where it is always a grind. It's about the number. You're pushing towards a quota. It's a dollar amount. It's very cutthroat. It is a hustle culture. Really, it is. And coming out of that and becoming a business owner, I had to realize like, oh, this shifts a little bit, right? The way and the way that you approach your business, also the longevity of your business. If you push towards those things in that way with that type of hustle culture, you will burn out very, very quickly. And so it absolutely has changed. Even just by going through some life hardships along while running a business has changed my perspective of what's important. What do I care about? Where do I place and prioritize my time? Who I spend it with? How I show up for my family? Like those things all go into that really, that true success bucket. So I had to 1000% shift my perspective on success, especially because I am a very driven person, Enneagram wise, I'm an achiever. So I have to switch that up a lot, Phil.
100% same. One of the things I found when I got into business for my own is the thing that got me to where I was at was my hustle harder mentality, right? The drive, the work. Like I'm not the smartest guy and I'm certainly not educated like a lot of other people are out there are. So for me, it was that hustle and that grind and that working the long hours. But then I got to a point in my business where that was actually harming me.
Oh, come on, Phil.
Right? So I was getting in the way of my business's growth. I was getting in the way of the growth of my employees. And I had to take a step back and look and go, what is causing this? Is it really that I'm helping my business, which it wasn't, or is there some untapped, unknown anxiety inside me that's causing that this thing's filling with? Yeah, that was the answer. And it wasn't just me, it was my entire family. It was the way we were raised, right? We had great work ethic, but we had this anxiety inside of us. And the only thing that would fill it was dumping more work onto it. Mm-hmm. And until I figured out how to solve that, then I could never be in a position where I could let go of things.
Yes. I always say, Phil, that is so good because it's true. A lot of time, I'm a person where I always say, like, I don't need anybody to teach me work ethic. I have enough of that on my own. But it's that tipping point, Phil, right? Whereas we sometimes just take it too far, right? And I always say, your business will teach you a lot of things as long as you're willing to listen. And the biggest gateway to growth, you want to grow in your business, is self-awareness. Like, grow yourself before you worry about what your team's doing or who's doing this or how much revenue is coming in, a profit, and your profit margins and increasing. All of these things, you better check yourself first. So I always say, and I tell my clients with this too, is you need to have a lot of checkups from the neck up. What do I mean by that? You need to be checking your mindset. Your mindset will need to be checked often, because your ego, your drive, those things, you can be the actually thing that takes your business down, right? Or takes your team down. And that just really causes you to self-reflect and really decide like what's important. And so that's that inner work that sometimes we are not slowing down and doing or acknowledging, but it is so, so critical and necessary.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd also say, as your business and as your life grows, what worked for you at one stage may not necessarily work for you in that other stage.
Yes.
And if you're not constantly working on this, like you described, you're not going to be prepared at the next level, you know, at the next level and at the next stage at all.
No. So I call it that release to receive.
What inspired you to create the heart, not hustle approach?
Yeah, I think it was coming from, like I said, from med device pharmaceutical sales. I absolutely love that industry. Spent 16 years there before becoming an entrepreneur, now 8 years. It was trying to explain to people truly what sales is and the art of sales, because it gets such a bad rep, right? Like, people have all these bad and negative connotations that they attach to sales. And I would find business owners, when I was doing one-on-one coaching, they would want to detach themselves from sales because it's like, oh, it doesn't feel good. It's not comfortable. People see it as this negative, you know, pushy, aggressive. It was like all of these things. And it's like, I need to figure out, obviously, there are basic things in sales that exist, that are there. They are foundational, whether it's your sales strategy, your sales process, but being able to help people really understand what sales truly is. And then when you get that part, it shifts your mindset, which then allows you to shift your behaviors and your approach so that you can be effective and profitable, right? And not just passionate and making no money. Like, that doesn't work either, but it's understanding what that is. And that hustle is that driving, that chasing, that pushing people. Where heart really is understanding the heart of your business and who you serve. Why do you do what you do? Why did you choose it? It's most of us that are business owners who are crazy enough to say, raise my hand, I want to do this, is it's something that drives you. You're passionate and purposeful about something. You enjoy it, right? You find joy in it. And you want to serve other people with it. And so that's the thing, is like, you're serving someone. It's not about selling or haggling someone, but as you serve them, your heart and your mind have to be focused on what do they need? Why do they need it? And then how, or am I, that question of the best person to help them meet their needs? Does that come into alignment? And then when it doesn't, having the integrity, right? And the heart to say, I'm not the best fit for you, but I can refer you here. So it's all of these little mindset checkpoints, and there's the ethical piece, there's the integrity piece, but it really is doing it from a place of heart, not hustle, because heart will get you further than hustle ever will.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially in this day and age where people want to deal with authenticity.
Yes.
And it's something I've brought up in business before, and people that struggle is, if you want to be successful in this day and age in business, you have to be trustworthy.
Oh,
you really have to be trustworthy, because word spreads. The world is much smaller, especially nowadays, than you realize. There's time and time again that I will find someone that I dealt with in the past at some conference or something I never expected them to be at, right?
Yes.
So your name, your reputation, who you are critical in business.
Yes.
And if I say I'm going to do something, I need to follow through with that. And likewise, if you try to be that sleazy salesperson, that pushy, at the end of the day, unauthentic, it's not going to work out for you.
You got it. I always say we are in the day and age with social media, we're dealing with very conscious buyers. Like, they are watching you. They're looking at your energy. They're watching your business. They want to know what you believe in, what you stand for. Like, it is no longer just like, oh, I just buy. No, they're vested. They're vested, and people are paying attention. So the way that you show up, and like you said, that being trustworthy, like, not only can I be trusted, but I am worthy of doing business with you, and vice versa. It absolutely matters to people, especially when they're investing into something or a company. People are intentional, right? So having that in alignment, I could not agree more with you, Phil. So necessary.
Great. Yeah. So can you share a story of a client transformation that really stands out to you?
Yeah, I think for me, I could actually speak on where I am right now. So I do a lot of consulting for an international pricing firm. And then I also do one-on-one coaching. And I think the specific, I would say I'm sitting in two of them. I just came off of a call with a large company, tons of success stories rolling out of it. And I think the biggest thing is when I think about the success that I'm able to witness and see through sales coaching and pricing coaching, is those people who are bought in to the belief of evolving, being better, and changing. And it's so cool to watch, because people come in with preconceived notions, right? Mindsets, making assumptions, wondering if it's going to work or not. And I tell them, you don't have time to figure out if you can trust me or not. Just go ahead and lean in. Like, we don't have time, because I'm telling you it works. And so to see people evolve, it is so cool. And it is really what fires me up, is because to see people come in with disbelief, especially when you're talking about something that's the most sensitive thing to them, their money. Hello. When you're talking about their money and their ability to invest money into you, to be led by you, to make more money, which I tell them, I can't guarantee you anything, but I know this works, right? To see people evolve through that, not only in mindset, but by their boldness and their confidence in how they execute sales in their business, that's what drives me. I get so excited and pumped up about that. I just sent a message, is like, this company is crushing it. Like, their leaders are crushing it. Their team members are crushing it. And we knew it, right? We know it works. We know the model works. But to see that come out on the back end is what jazzes me. Because when you lead, when you're coaching or consulting, people are trusting you, right? Like we talked about, that trustworthy, they're trusting you, right? So to gain that trust and to see people win, it matters, because that means with that money, they get to do more. They get to impact more people, impact more businesses, serve more people, and like make things better in their company, reinvest that money back into their employees. And like that right there, like, I literally am witnessing it on Monday and then again today, right? Like, every day I get to do that. And that's like why I fight for the art of sales and for people to respect this industry and to do it with integrity. Like, that's my jam. That's where I get I get pumped up. So I get to witness
100%. A question though, do you ever run into a situation where someone's just not going to work out? Like, it's just like,
listen,
no.
Yeah. Oh, I'm shaking my head, feel like, I've been there and I've witnessed it. And you know, it usually is, Phil, it goes back to what you said, when the client is in their own way. It's usually the owner or the leader or the VP of sales or the district manager, whoever that leader is, they are in the way. And sometimes their people are ready, but there's a bottleneck there. And usually it is self-inflicted, right? Or there's a leadership team and the culture is not that great. I have witnessed that. I would say less. I've witnessed that a lot less, because I think there's also a thing of integrity when you are bringing on new clients to say, hey, that's not going to work. Like, you have to vet out that person and that process. As I tell my clients, your client, you're not at the mercy of them where you're just hoping they buy from you. It's mutual. It's a mutual decision. It's a mutual win-win. So you have to be ready to accept them and say, hey, this is in alignment, because that's when you see a win-win. So I tell my clients, I need your best yes before I can ever give you my best yes, because I'm going to bring my A game. I'm going to give you my all. But are you ready? Are you ready? And usually where there's a downfall is when they're not ready. And I think that requires us being willing to walk away from sales opportunities that are not right and not in alignment. I think as you mature in your business, you learn how to vet those things. Because when you, I say this all the time, everybody's money is not good money.
Couldn't agree with you more.
It's not.
One of the most important things you can do in business in general is realize who's not your customer. Woo. And not be afraid to fire those customers.
Quickly, Phil.
Quickly. Fire. Yes. One of the key things I learned in business is I always just, in the early on stages, that's tough to hear, right? Because you're just scrapping trying to make it by, right?
Yeah, you're like, I'm happy to have a sale and a client.
Yeah, but there's some bad customers who are just not a good fit for you.
No.
And they will drain your energy, your time. They'll have you questioning, what am I doing with my life right now, right?
Yes.
And those are people you want to, you know what? We are not a good fit for each other. I understand that. Let's move on.
Yeah.
I think that is almost as important or maybe even more important than the other side in finding good customers, because you have a tough time doing that. You have a tough time having the confidence in sales when you have this cancer that is just eating away your business. So
glad you
brought that up.
Yeah.
So something I like talking with entrepreneurs about, because there seems to always be some story about this, a moment of risk or a moment of decision that you had to make in your life that significantly paid off.
Yeah.
And I've talked to people about, you know, leaving their corporate job or investing in something that at the time they were like, I was, you know, writing a check I couldn't cash, right? Like they didn't have the money for it, like that type of situation. So what's a risk that you took that significantly paid off?
Oh man, I have many, but as I have bootstrapped my business, but I think one that stands out the most was I did not start out in sales coaching and consulting. That is my roots. It was all I did for 16 years, but that's a whole bigger like life story, really leaning in, understanding, taking the risks, taking the steps, evolving, being willing to not give up. But I would say originally I started out doing speaking, right? Speaking internationally, speaking locally, and going into that speaker coaching program, coming out, speaking internationally, like I said, all over the place, then going into coaching, right? And at first I was doing meaningful success coaching and helping people go from career to calling, because it allowed me to leverage my background of sales, strategy, development, biz dev, but really helping people understand how to do that, because it was a journey that I had also taken myself. But then it was a friend that spoke to me and she was like, hey, people keep asking you to coach them in sales and you keep turning them down. Why? And it really was part of my journey of like, been there, done that. I'm not supposed to be back there. That door closed for a reason. I got laid off 16 years. It felt like a death. I mean, it was all of that. And I was like, no, 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 I don't do that anymore. And finally, I did have to lean into my faith and pray about it. But all of my brand, the reason why I say this was a huge risk, Phil, is because all of my brand, and you know this, building a brand is a lot of work. From the website to the social, to your messaging, to your deliverables, to anything, your email, everything. When you do it right and fully and spend years building that, it was making a complete opposite turn. And so it meant all of the back end work of building the messaging, the branding, the content, the speaking decks, all of that to really shift and go full in with sales coaching. And it was the best decision I made, but it was a timing that I couldn't have predicted. And it felt like a complete and total risk and like starting over. But I always say by trusting that, leaning in, leading with faith on that and praying on it, it was the best thing. Because I always say my business, it was almost like back then, it was like the faucet was on, it was like a trickle. So there was business there, it was good. But when I took that leap and that risk, and I call it like a faith leap, it was like the floodgates opened up. It was like the dam broke and it was just, it was, it, and in the pandemic, This was during the pandemic, and it ended up being one of my biggest years. And ever since then, it just keeps growing and growing and growing. So, I mean, it was a huge risk, but it was worth it every step of the way.
Yeah, it's crazy how many entrepreneurs, I'd say every single one of them I've talked to that's had some level of success, can describe this moment where they, you know, it's like the leap first and then the net will present itself, the leap yes. of faith. They just had that pivotal moment where they were like, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to quit my job, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. And that's how they found success. And I love hearing those stories. So thank you for that. So your program, your coaching system, can you kind of walk through, if someone were interested in this, what they would expect and what they get out of coaching with you?
Yeah. So I do a lot of one-on-one coaching or training. Sometimes if it's within corporate, it might be working with executives and doing sales coaching, or it might be working with their teams and individuals one-on-one, or sometimes it's entrepreneurs where it's directly one-on-one and they come to me. And so with that is, it's all about building out the sales process, the sales strategy, and helping them actually understand how to sell. Like, what do I do in front of a client? How do I convert? Understanding the mindset, understanding the strategy, and really building that out to go from being not just passionate about the thing you do, but actually profitable. So what are the tactical things, but then also the mindset piece? Because people are smart, right? The skill set is the easiest, honestly, to change and to teach and coach to, but really a huge bulk of it, as we tell our corporations, the biggest bulk of it is the mindset and helping them understand the art of sales, understanding your buyer, what are the hangups, where do we get in the way, and those mindset shifts so that then the behavior can shift. So it's strategy, it's tactical, it's the accountability piece, and it's also the mindset. And then I walk them through my framework, my coursework around selling with heart, not hustle, but also being one-on-one with them. So they have course content they go through that's on the back end, and then one-on-one with me where we're building out the actual sales process and the strategy.
Yeah. Have you had examples where like the entrepreneur or the person that founded the company may have a sales strategy that works, but they don't know how to teach it?
Oh,
or they don't know how to duplicate what they're doing that works.
1000%, Phil, this is what usually happens. If that business owner, whether they're a small business, micro business, they have contractors that work under them, and they're either trying to remove themselves out of the sales seat so much where it's not so heavy on them. So hiring somebody who's going to run our own sales or split that with them, or having their team sell, oh my gosh, it is so often that they want to blame the team or the person. And the problem is, as I tell them, is that no one's going to sell your baby like you will. It is your baby. It's your business. You're passionate about it. And you have a certain gravitas that comes with that because of you being the founder or the owner. So a lot of times they hire someone, right? Then they get frustrated with said person who should be selling because, number one, they don't have a sales process or a strategy for them to actually follow and duplicate. So that happens so much. So I'm like, it's not the person that's the problem. It's that your business doesn't have the system, the process, and the strategy for them to follow. And then for you to train and develop them makes it much easier. So I see that so much. So I'm like, first step is, before we go trying to train them, you and I have to work one-on-one to develop it in the business. Then we go train them, and then we can hold them accountable to it.
Absolutely. So you got to understand it. Yeah. Like the quote, the meaning of my communication is the response I get.
Oh, wow.
Right. So
that's good.
It's a lot of time, right? Because communication is not one way, it's two way, right?
No.
So it may make total sense in your head what you're saying and the way you're selling, but are you crafting that to the individual, the way that they present, the way that they understand your product or service or whatever it is? And so I've seen that time and time again, that communication breakdown right there, and understanding and being able to communicate that effectively to a large group of diverse people is incredibly challenging in business, especially for sales.
It 1000% is. And that's why I tell them too, as owners, I'm like, hey, it's not just a you thing. many people have this issue. And it's like, it's just acknowledging it and figuring out, you have to slow down to speed up, right? Those things have to be put in place, but it is 1000% hard, because the gifting that you have and the thing that you do, a lot of times we take it for granted and we think, oh, it's easy. Anybody can do it. And it's like, no, it's not. Your style or your method or your genius or your gifting and the way you do it is very unique to you. I just had a conversation with one of my one-on-one clients who has a small business. And we were just talking about that. It's like, how do you scale and how do you duplicate without losing that excellence that you expect for other people to do it in? It's a fine line and a balance. And there's things that have to be put in place on the front end, in the middle and the back end. And then that continuation of training also.
Yeah, that's incredible. So what's next for you and Hard Not Hustle?
Where we are right now, I am a person where I understand the things that I do want and that I don't want. I am not into chasing anything. And so where I am right now is just this beautiful place of just continuing to serve people. So, you know, Selling with Heart Not Hustle, literally, it's just continuing to do one-on-one coaching. On our website, there is a course, which is Hello Clients, Hello Cash, where people can DIY and go through it if you're not ready to invest into one-on-one coaching. And then also the consulting piece. I love that work of working with big corporations and working through that business and getting to show up for someone else's process and getting those people success and continuing to operate and share there, like, and speaking, that's my lanes. I'm right here. I have no desire to push, drag, drive, burnout. No, I'm very clear where we are is a good, happy place. And to continue to do that, that's a blessing.
Got it. And are you doing coaching from small companies to corporate to kind of everything in between, or do you have a specific niche that you stick with?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of time, it's like a mix. A lot of it is entrepreneurially happening in that space. But then because I'm in corporations and I come from corporate, a lot of times there's just referrals that come that way of like, hey, you know, our industry, you know what it's like to be in corporate sales. And I've also been a sales rep. I've been a sales manager. So I know both seats and I can empathize and sympathize with both. So sometimes it's there. And then on the consulting side, it's definitely the company that I work and consult through, right? That female owner, it's a lot of like big major corporations, a lot of teams, multiple teams. There are sometimes $1 million, sometimes $1 billion companies and corporations. So it's showing up in both those areas. So if it sells, I can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So where can our audience, where can our listeners connect with you?
Yeah, honestly, simply natashahemingway.com. It's with two M's. It's that simple. Anything you want to know, if you want to book for speaking, or if you have an interest in one-on-one coaching, you go through the website, fill out a strategy call form, all of that. It's all there. You can go research all that. I won't go deep, but there it is.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, yep. Thank you so much for your time today, Natasha. We really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Success Is. If you found today's conversation helpful, make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone who might want to hear it. And of course, check out Natasha's website. And if you could use some coaching in your sales business or know someone who could benefit from that, share that link with them as well. Yeah. Until next time, keep pushing towards your version of success. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil.